I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture this morning comes from John 2, verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken.
There's something about the Gospel of John that it's so different than the other three. That's why we call the other three the Synoptic Gospels. John lacks confusion. He likes to confuse us, and sometimes we don't always understand the message that he's trying to send. It's like, have you heard the old blonde jokes? Not to offend, but when I was a kid, I heard this joke about how do you confuse a blonde? You stick them in a round room and tell them to stand in the corner. But how does a blonde confuse you? She comes out and says she did it. John is like that. He tells you things, and then you get a little confused, and you're not really sure where he's going with this, and you think, well, wait a minute. This has got to be a story about Jesus being angry. That's what it's about. Jesus is angry. You know, we have scholars to this day that debate this scripture because some say, well, Jesus would have never gotten angry. That wasn't his nature to get angry. But the debate goes on. Our gospel writer makes it a point to make us aware that when Jesus says, take these things out of here, there's an exclamation point. That means he raised his voice, right? That's why you put an exclamation point. And then he goes on to say, stop making my Father's house a marketplace. Well, it sure sounds like that's what it is. He's angry because they're selling things in the temple. But is it? Is that the message that John is sending us in this scripture? At this time in history, when Jesus entered the temple, the Jewish hierarchy believed it was necessary to have these animals and these money changers at the temple. Why? Well, think about it. If you're making your pilgrimage to Jerusalem to go to the temple, are you going to put a dove in your pocket or herd cattle or sheep so you can sacrifice them? No. It's like our businessmen today. Come on, you don't have to carry anything with you. When you get to the temple, you can buy what you want to sacrifice. We're making it easy for you. That's just good business practice. So when you get here, if you can afford a lamb, buy a lamb. A cow, get a cow. And if you just want a dove, we got those too. And if you have more than you need in terms of money, we got change, money changers. So just makes sense. If you're going to sacrifice to God, you're going to want the best thing to sacrifice. And if you have the money to sacrifice the biggest thing, buy the biggest thing. So, isn't that convenient? Would Jesus be upset because someone made it easier to go to the temple and buy something? It's confusing. And I'm going to confuse you anymore. I'm going to confuse you even more. And I want you to understand that I'm going to keep confusing you. But promise me at the end it's all going to work out for you. Neil Martin, a member of the British Parliament, was once giving a tour to constituents of the House of Parliament. And as he went through the House of Parliament, he saw Lord Halesham. And Halesham was the Lord Chancellor. And the Lord Chancellor saw Neil Martin. So here's Neil Martin giving this guided tour. He has all these people with him. And the Lord Chancellor says, "Neil!" And everybody did. Is that what he wanted? The message didn't get clear. The people were too afraid. This is the Lord Chancellor. If he says, "Neil," that's what we're going to do. But he was talking to Neil Martin. And so John is very much like that. He says, so he chased out the money changers. And we say, oh, well, that's got to be what it's about. A den of thieves. But again, that's not what he was talking about. We focus too much on the anger in this passage and not enough on the message of this passage, which is what John wanted. And make note, this story is not in any other gospel, just John. And we know that the Gospel of John was written long after the other three. And we also know that John, the writer of the gospel, was highly Christological. So when he sends a message, he likes to bury that message in there so that you have to study and learn. So let's go with some more confusion. There was a lady leaving Walmart. She leaves Walmart. As she's getting in her car, she looks over and there's a man staring at her. She's scared. She hurries and gets in her car and she locks the door. She starts the car and she peels out. She gets out on the main road. She looks behind her and there's a car following her. And looking in the rearview mirror, she realizes it's the man that was staring at her. Now she's really scared. So she hits the gas, and she's taking off around town as fast as she can and negotiating these curves and running lights. And she looks behind her, and the guy's right behind her, and she finally says, that's it. I can't go fast enough. I'm running out of gas. This guy's got me. I may as well just pull over. So she does. She pulls over. The guy pulls in behind her. He jumps out of his car. He opens the door behind her and pulls a man out. And he says, "Ma'am, I saw him getting into your car, and I was worried he was going to hurt you. I'm sorry I scared you." Sometimes things aren't what they seem, and this passage is not what it seems. We want to read it a certain way because it makes sense to us a certain way, but what he's really trying to communicate to us is, well, you're just going to have to figure it out. Why would I want to solve this mystery for you? The fun of this scripture is for us to see what is going on with our own eyes and figure it out for ourselves. Well, maybe this will help. We'll read some more scripture here. The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" What? Messing everything up, right? Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" Hello, anybody? We're talking about money changers. We're talking about you chasing them out and whipping them and telling them not to make it a den of thieves. What are you talking about? The temple is going to be destroyed? Folks, if you don't see a disconnect, something's wrong. Jesus isn't talking about the same thing they're talking about. That's because Jesus' actions were not what they were seeing. It wasn't about anger. It wasn't about the business. What Jesus does is a total non sequitur. Why do you think you have authority to stop us from selling things so people can sacrifice? And Jesus says, "Destroy this temple." Anyone else see that? It's not what he's talking about. So the real reason is, well, we'll go to another story. You figure it out. I read about a speedboat driver. And this speedboat driver was telling me he's going out on the lake and he's flying across the water. And he gets to going so fast and hitting waves that his speedboat flips in the air and turns upside down. And he goes way deep into the water. He didn't know if he was upside, downside. He had no clue. He just knew he was deep in the water. So what did he do? He calmed himself. No panic. He had on his life vest, and he waited for it to start making him go up. That's how he figured out which way to swim. Otherwise, he would have been in big trouble. It's that way for us. Oftentimes, we find ourselves surrounded by confusion, too deeply immersed in our own issues or ways of doing something to know which way is up or what is right. Is that not true? That sometimes we're so totally focused that we're missing everything around us. When this happens, we too can remain calm, waiting for God's tug to pull us in the proper direction. Our life vest is recognizing God's presence and trusting Him. And therein is why the Jews were so confused and never really heard what Jesus was saying to them, because they no longer recognized God's presence or trusted God. What they recognized was the law. What they trusted was the law. There was no openness to God's word. Therefore, they couldn't hear God's word in Jesus. And that's why they didn't understand when Jesus started talking about his body being a temple. So what was Jesus saying to them? Why, when they asked, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answers their question referring to his body. Do you know why? Does it make sense to you now? Does Jesus' answer imply he is upset about corruption when he talks about his body being a temple? Is that what you're hearing? Is that what he's really referring to? You're running a business in a place of worship, and that is wrong. Well, that's easy for us to see, if that's what we want to believe. That's what many of us are taught from the time we're children. We go to Sunday school, and we have heard preachers through our lives say, "Look how angry he is because they're running a business in the temple." Wrong. That is not at all what Jesus is saying. Jesus had other issues on his mind besides the selling and money changing. I rarely ever share anything like this, but I'll tell you that during my 7 years in the Navy, I got ribbons and medals as an expert with a Colt 45 automatic and with an M16. I was good. In fact, my commanding officer said that I could shoot the eye out of a flea at 500 yards. Not true. A fly, but not a flea, maybe. I was good. But what I learned from that, and many of you who are hunters, you will know this too. When you're there to shoot and you're focused on a target, you're not seeing what's going on behind you. You can't. You are totally and completely focused on that which is in front of you. It's only after you shoot that you can turn around and look to see what's going on behind you, because if you try to do it when you're shooting, you're not going to hit your target. You got to be focused. By the way, I'm still a pretty fair shot. I can hit a barn, it'd be all right. Here's the point. The Jews are so focused on the law. They're so focused on what they're doing. They're not looking behind them. We got to stick to this law, and you're not. And therefore, Jesus, we've got to kill you, because you're out of line. They should have stopped focusing on the law and looked around to see what's happening. You see, when we do that, when we get so focused on who we are and what we do and how we do it, we forget there are other people around us that are doing different things, believe different things, live different ways, and we want everyone to be like us. So what is Jesus meaning? Let's not play games anymore. Confusion is over. What is Jesus meaning when he says, in response to what authority do you have to do this, destroy this temple, and I will raise it in 3 days, referring to his body. Here's what Jesus is saying. You don't need sacrifices anymore. I'm it. I'm the ultimate sacrifice. I'm the last sacrifice. My Father sent me to die for your sins. Do not believe that by killing these animals and spending this money that you are in any way, going to please my Father. Forget it. Get rid of all of this and focus on me and what I say to you. Because I'm teaching you directly what my Father has imparted to me, and I am the ultimate sacrifice. Wow, what a message. What a message, and it goes right over the heads of the Jews because they're still thinking about the law. They say, this temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days? Now, folks, if there's one thing Jesus knew, it's how people can be sarcastic. Have you ever met a sarcastic person? Seriously? We've been working on this 46 years and you're going to raise it? Shows you right over their heads. Jesus says, you don't get it. I'm not worried about all of this over here. What I'm worried about is you're not seeing the reality of the final great sacrifice. That the God you so-called, that you say you worship, has given you. And if you really worship God, you would realize that I'm his son. That I am the way and the truth and the life. Can't you just hear them? They're laughing. Oh, this guy's nuts. Of course, as I said, Jesus was used to such things. He's used to people saying things like this. But then remember, our gospel writer goes on to say, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said this. I wonder if anyone else did. And they believed the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. See, they weren't running around. Tell me a story. Anybody see a story where the disciples were going into temples and synagogues and saying, get rid of the sacrifices, get rid? No. Because that wasn't the message. After this, the disciples went out and preached Jesus Christ. This is John letting us in on that which the Jews did not understand. Pay attention, John says. Jesus was the sacrificial Lamb of God. So rethink, ye sinner. This story is not about doing business in the temple, but of God's business with you. It's about God's business with you. The temple was the meeting place between God of Israel and God's people. Now Jesus is the meeting place between God and God's creation. Jesus is the new temple. And what does Paul tell us? Paul says, your body is a temple, and that's where God resides. Take care of your body. It's a temple. God is with each and every one of us, not just the Jews, not just the Christians, not just the Muslims, not just the Hindus, not just the Buddhist. God created everyone. And therefore, God resides with everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Any other interpretation of that? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So, the message John sends us is, rethink, ye sinner. I am the God of everything. And you don't need to sacrifice anymore because my son was the last and ultimate sacrifice to show my love for you. Each and every one of you. Let us not leave this sanctuary without understanding that we have a God that loves us so much that he would sacrifice his only son. Let us not leave this sanctuary not realizing that Jesus was talking about God's relationship with us. Not about money, not about the animals, about the whole idea of sacrificing anything beyond the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We don't need it. What we do need is to pray and to understand God's love for us. What a gift. What a wonderful thing that he loves us so much. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we stand before you this day, we know oftentimes we miss the message that you would have us to understand in your scripture. We don't always get it right, Lord, so we ask that you fill us with your spirit, that we may get it right, that we may understand, that we may study and figure out just exactly what it is you want us to know. Bless us with understanding. Bless us in our going out, that we may serve you. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.